Scripture reading this morning will come from Psalms chapter 16, verses 8 through 11. Psalms 16, 8 through 11. And it reads, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, at the right hand where are pleasures forevermore.
I know I only had one verse on the scripture reading in your outline, but this morning as I was going over my notes, I wanted to complete the thought that David was trying to get. Because without a doubt, many are out there wondering if they've misspent their lives or they wasted their lives trying to reach a specific goal. You know, I watched this week's events unfold, and I watch so many people out there that are seeking after a goal for themselves, something that they want done for themselves, without thinking about anyone else. They want what they have now, and they want to keep it. Their eyes are not focused on the future per se. Maybe on the future on this life, but certainly not after what comes, after this life is over. Solomon in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, he said to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Society today doesn't believe that. The whole duty of man today is to get ahead. I have heard those that have mentioned and said that they hope to be able to retire by the time they reach 40. There are those out there who have made their millions before they even reached 30. But at what sacrifice did all these things come from? What was given up in life for this? Seek ye the Lord that he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. And our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55 verses 6 and 7. Isaiah here clearly pinpoints the central and the supreme goal in life. Many are out there searching. Many are out there trying to get a handle on what they want in life. But the most important thing in life doesn't occur in this life, but after. Seeking after God must be an all-consuming matter, so that the abundant blessings of God can be offered to us. Anyone who finds God must be a seeker of God. What is society seeking today? What does man want out of life? When we look back at our Declaration of Independence, it's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. People today are pursuing happiness. But what about life? Why did our founders put life in the very beginning? Hebrews 11:6, Paul writes here, "For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek after him." God made a promise through the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29 and verse 13, that ye shall seek me and find me. And when you shall search for me with all your heart. Are we looking in the right direction as we try to establish the goals in our life? Are we looking in that direction? Or are we looking elsewhere? You know, one of the hard things I find when, if we are traveling and we have to go through Atlanta, for whatever reason, especially when Katie was in school, it was hard for me to drive down 85 through Atlanta and keep my eyes on the road. Because I'm looking at all the skyscrapers and the buildings. I think it's really neat, especially at night. And you see everything all lit up. I'd hate to say what would happen if I drove in New York City with all the extra lights. I do know what happens when I drive in Washington, D.C., towing a camper, and I'm looking around and don't see the light changing red. I did get through the intersection without a scratch. Missed one car, missed a cab, and got a thumbs up from a cabbie. But see, my eyes weren't focused on where it's supposed to be going. My goal was to get somewhere, but how is another matter. Isaiah 34 and verse 16, it says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail." Well, I think that's a powerful verse. You know, we're out there trying to set goals in life, and the one goal that we can set that will benefit us for eternity is right there in the book. But we have to read. You know, you can listen to someone preaching. You can listen to a teacher. But God calls on us to seek Him in His Word. If one seeks God today, there's only one way that he can do it, and that is through His Son, Jesus Christ. As Jesus said in John 14 and verse 6, that no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now we can't, as much as we try, or as human beings try, to ignore Jesus' position when we seek God. You know, so many out there overlook Christ, overlook the sacrifice. You know, I was thinking and contemplating on the Lord's Supper this morning, and as Charles was reading the scripture, my mind went back to the book of Exodus, to the Passover that happened, to the perfect lamb that they were required to have, that they were to use and sacrifice that lamb. But there was another aspect of it, that they had to consume all of that lamb, and that the blood of that perfect lamb that they sacrificed was spread on the lintels of the door. It is so much exactly as the Jews celebrated every year, that we celebrate every week, the perfect lamb that was slain, the bread representing His body that we eat, the blood that was shed represented by the fruit of the vine. We can't dismiss Jesus in the role of our salvation. Jesus in all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to Himself by Jesus Christ. This is Paul writing in 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 19. Reconciling us to Him, not Him to us. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. And so, it must be through Christ that we seek God. This is where we find the purpose of God's revelation, John 20 and verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing ye might have life through his name. It's our promise of pardon. It's revealed in the scriptures. These scriptures that were penned by inspired men, not their words, but his words. The Holy Spirit directing their thoughts. Our spiritual affairs must never be relegated to a secondary position. But oftentimes we do. Not on purpose. Not on purpose. Sometimes family matters come up. Sometimes our jobs interfere. Some of these things cannot be helped. But oftentimes for so many, this is the second thought, the afterthought. I marvel at this congregation during inclement weather. When you're sitting there and you're looking at the screen on Saturday night and you're watching all the church closures, but you've never seen the Malden Church of Christ close tomorrow. The doors will be open. Somebody will be here. It may be a very small group. We certainly wouldn't want anybody to risk their lives to try to get here if it's not safe to do so. But the importance is that those who can gather will gather. Jesus in Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Every facet of our lives is brought into focus when our spiritual obligations are properly valued. For you to be here this morning, you valued your obligations to God. Nobody dragged you through the doors. God didn't sit there and push you out the door this morning. You're here of your own free will. And that speaks so much of each and every one of you. It is only through Christ that the kingdom of God is presented to us. And we have to seek that kingdom. God has done his part, so we must do ours now. God said, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found." And when is this? Hebrews 3:15 tells us today. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation. Of course, God's not going to be whispering in your ear. Hopefully, he's reading to you through this right here. That his voice you're hearing, these words you're hearing through this. It is kind of hearing through your eyeballs. You see it, and your faith, you believe it. God set the present as the time. 2 Corinthians 6:2, he says, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, for some, I suppose it's possible to harden your hearts to the point that you will never, ever repent. Just as Pharaoh did, and he paid the price. You know, it says in Hebrews 6 and verses 4 and 6 that one can openly reject Christ. And it says it is impossible to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. For the young folks, we can say, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." To those who are older, in John chapter 9 and verse 4, "I must work the works of him that sent me." It's Jesus telling them about God and his mission. And when, while it is day, The night comes and no man can work. All these things are written by God to tell us to seek the Lord now and not later. There is far more to seeking God than merely reading about Him in His Word. Go back to our scripture reading and look at those words there. Let the wicked forsake in his ways and the unrighteous his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. When we turn, there is a change process that goes on. It's not an easy change. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. In our Bible class, we were talking a little bit about the changes. It's like as we continue our walking in God and we try in our walk to heaven, the scales of the past continue to fall off. As we grow, we shed those scales with each step that we take closer to heaven. And when we get to the end of that journey, we're still probably going to have some scales still there. We're not going to be perfectly smooth skin, but we'll be there. Because God can see the effort. We must take those things we've done in the past and put them away from us. Stop doing them. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. We have to have that faith. Jesus in John 8, verse 24, He says, "For if you believe not that I am He, ye shall die in your sins." If you don't have faith, if you don't have that believing faith, you've probably got my garment in your car, because it will not get you to heaven, just like my garment will not get you to Hilton Head. There has to be repentance. For the will of man has to change. It has to change. The wickedness, the things that we've done, our lives have to be forsaken. In Acts 20, verse 24, Paul was testifying here, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts 3:19, Peter commanded the Jews to repent, "Ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Paul in 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10 said, "So godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of." But this only leads towards the salvation which is in Christ. There is another step in reaching salvation as we seek God's pardon. In John 10 and verse 9, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." You know, there's this commercial out of a woman who, it's one of those nicotine, Nicorette gum, whatever commercials to quit smoking. And it shows her age, and she's talking about, she finally got her wake-up call when her teeth were falling out. Well, they had to show us a picture of her mouth, which I could have taken her word for it. But what she says at the end strikes a chord. If there's a knock, answer it. You know, how many times has God been knocking on your door? How many times? Paul in Galatians 3 and verses 16 and 17, he said, "For ye all are children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." The door going into Christ is his baptism. Without that, all the other steps, the repentance, the faith, the belief, is just that. It's just words. Because we have not been accepted by him. Because we didn't finish our faith. Faith and repentance lead toward Christ's salvation. But baptism translates us from Satan's dominion into all the blessings of Christ. How many of us have made New Year's resolutions this year? Have you kept them so far? That's the reason I don't make them. Because I know that come the 15th, it's not happening. The one thing that we must promise ourselves is to set the proper goal in life. Set the goal so that we can bring a fulfillment in our lives that cannot be had by physical things. A fulfillment that can come only because we know we are in Christ. Knowing that we have the smartest lawyer that ever walked the face of the earth to be our mediator come judgment day. That's going to defend us. Because he knows what we've been through. But also he will give us a comfort that we need when we face the trials of life. Ask those who have millions when the IRS is breathing down their necks if they don't stay awake at night, worrying about the next day. But a Christian, what have you to worry? Because you know who is laying beside you in that bed while you sleep. And who is walking beside you each and every day. I pray that you will not let another day go by where you be walking in darkness. But setting that proper goal, you will always be in the light. If there is anyone here this morning who desires to obey the gospel, to set that goal in life, that your life will change for the better. It can never change for the worse. You will know exactly where you're headed at the end of this life. Death will not keep you in fear. Death will keep you in hope and happiness because you know where your future lies. If you desire to repent and confess this day and to be baptized for the remission of sins, we want to give you that opportunity. If you are a child of God, what goals have you set yourself to make sure that you reach the light at the end of that tunnel of life? If anyone has a desire this morning, won't you come as together we stand and we sing?